good to go.
Good to go.
All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And today I have another great guest, and I'm really excited to have to introduce this guest because it's something that we haven't really talked about on this platform. And the conversations that we've had before we started recording really brought kind of opened up my view of the realities of families that go through his
I have
realities.
Michael Pereira here with me, and he's going to talk to us about the realities of his family and how he turned that into,
I would say, an empowering situation where he can help the community, the underserved community that we talked about. So thank you so much, Michael, for joining me today and opening up this conversation. I think it's very important.
course. So, Gordon, thank you so much for having me. Very excited, and I hope this conversation resonates with a lot of families.
Yes, I think it will. I know with the families, some of the families that I work with, they're going to appreciate this. But before we get started with what, how you build this all up, can you talk a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Of course. So my son, everything started obviously with my son. He's dying. He's been diagnosed on the spectrum, mild, almost 4 years now. He's going to be 7 actually this week. But I came from the corporate field, traveling like 80, 70, 80% of the time for years. And upon that lifestyle, my wife and I just decided, okay, let's see if we can do the American dream. Just get married, bought a house. Obviously, Christian came into our lives. And around when he was 1 year old, we started seeing some symptoms that at first we didn't know how to address it. We didn't know if it was something that was temporary or just going through his own growing pains. But we knew at one point that he had obviously symptoms that needed to be addressed, but also from our side, we were in denial. And I think that that's something that every parent almost or most parents go through, being in denial, which in some cases could be dangerous because if that denial surpasses the fact that you're looking for information and it can procrastinate any early intervention, right? So we were in denial. COVID came by. For us, it was a blessing in some sense because I was able to stay home, no travel. So a lot of those symptoms were able to reduce. We don't know why. I don't know if it's, again, maybe I'm stricter than my wife. All the attention was towards him. But when COVID released, a lot of the symptoms just came back, increased full force, his head against the wall, tippy-toeing even more, aligning. He w was at that point talking a little bit in a couple of words, but he had some regression there. The speech therapies he did have at one point, because of the meltdowns, it was out of a half an hour, 45-minute session. Half of it was a meltdown. A couple minutes, it was calming him down. And 10-minute session, believe me, it's not. We weren't taking advantage of those therapy sessions. So we knew, long story short, we knew that we needed that to be addressed. We got him diagnosed, obviously. At the same time, I was looking for another employer, which I did found, but I ended up working more, which that's something I didn't want. I wanted to do the same, travel less, but it wasn't the story. And my head wasn't in the right place. So I started looking with all that stress, worry, anxiety. I started looking for my own financial advisor, and I found a lot. But everybody just wanted to sell me something or recruit me. Really knew, nobody really spoke about, hey, special needs trust, guardianship, power of attorneys. How can financial services feed off of estate planning? It's a full conversation that needs to happen, and that's the conversation I was looking for, and I couldn't find it. So I just decided with my wife to part ways from the corporate world and be able to do this, to be able to help families like mine around financial, I would say financial literacy or clarity, but at the same time develop the blog that for us, we believe in education first. So we just post any type of topic we believe any parent would love to read about. Maybe when they're scrolling at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. because they're worried, they're trying to seek information. So we just want to be a resource for families. So that's it. Hopefully it wasn't too much.
No, and you've unpacked so much there. First of all, with the reality of realizing that there may be something early on in the development that could be so tricky because every child develops differently, right? So this is the reality that every family goes through is, and even the family doctors will say, well, we don't know if it's just part of the development or if there's actually something there. So that denial really is there at some point thinking, well, maybe it's just because he's not ready yet, or so we go through that a lot. And then you really touched on a pain point there with when it works at home, when it doesn't work at home, wanting to be home to support your child but not finding the job that you need and then the financing, because I know I work with quite a few people where they're planning, especially with the where their child sits on the spectrum. They need to plan for the child, or once they're adult, will not be able to care for themselves. So they need to find somebody. If anything happens to the parents, who's going to take care of my child for the rest of their life? So there's a lot to unpack. And we'll talk about the services, your blog, and everything, and the support that you provide. But can you talk to us about this? Because this is something that really caught my attention when we were first talking was, when you're in it, when you're dealing with the meltdowns, when you're dealing with judgment from the families, from school, from everything else that goes on, your head is not, you're in survival mode. So your head is not thinking about future planning, about insurance, about trust, about putting money aside just in case, about life insurance. If something happens to me, you're not there mentally for it. So can you kind of go over those realities? You've gone through it and you can share it with people to make them feel like they're not alone. What those realities are about future planning when you have a child that has those challenges.
I think it's not, there's no one size fits all. Each family is different. It's like even the diagnosis, being on the spectrum, there's so many things that go outside. I would say, for example, Christian just got diagnosed a couple of days ago with ADHD as well. So, it could start in one thing, end up in another, or there's a lot of things that come into consideration, and there's no one size fits all. But when we're talking about, I would say, planning them and talking as a father, I would say there's short, mid, and long term, I would say, scenarios. The short term, what we focus on when I have a conversation with a family is that, okay, a lot of families or professionals talk about, hey, get this. Because if something happens to you, your family's going to become a millionaire. Okay, perfect. But what if I don't die? What if I get cancer? What if I get a stroke or in a car crash? I fall down the stairs and I'm 2 years out. My income will be interrupted. So we talk about strategies. Okay, if something were to happen to you due to an injury, an illness, a condition, how many months can you be right now with your savings, which usually it's not enough? And we develop a coverage or a plan that would cater to that area. So after we check mark the short term, which we want to make sure that obviously, because again, Christian in my case depends on us 100%. He's going to be 7 this week, but he's only, he depends on us. If I get cancer and it's going to end up funneling down to him, my interruption of income, right? So we want to make sure that we're like in the plane, put your mask first before you put somebody else's. So I would say that's one of the conversations we have. The second one I would say, which is the mid, again, this is what I believe is trying to use, here in the States, there's a lot of usage for special needs trust. So one of the reasons why we use life insurance to fund a special needs trust is because it's predictable. A lot of families consider putting their own house, investments accounts, and all that. But for me, that fluctuates. When you have a policy, it's predictable. As long as you pay the premiums, it's active. it's going, you know how much is going to be there. And obviously it's not going to affect your child's any benefits that they may have. And then for the long term, which this I see that most families are not talking about it, is long-term care. And I mentioned before the call, my grandfather just passed away. And luckily he has family. He had me, his my mom, and my mom basically became almost a caregiver. But those families, for example, when we have a child that has a special needs or may need support beyond years to come, he may not be able to take care of his parents, right? So us as parents, we need to have that strategy that we need to make sure that we have ourselves covered if when we're 80, 90 years old, 70, 80, 90, and somebody needs to take care of us, we need to make sure that we have an amount there so that we can pay for that care because we may not have a plan B. Right. So those are the three areas I try to have the conversation because for me that builds a foundation. Builds a foundation if something happens to you today, you can have a strategy that provides an income. If you pass away, obviously it funds a special needs trust. And if you have a long-term obviously you live for a couple years, you have that long-term strategy that it could pay out a facility if you need that help. So these are the type of conversations I'm having. I don't do investments, and for me, I try to provide what I believe in, and I believe in having a foundation is essential for every family with special needs.
I really like that. This is what made it so interesting to me was because in a day you're so focused on what your child needs and you can't eat. We talked about this before we started recording is you can't even think about what we're going to do for lunch because you're dealing with something. How are you? And then you're thinking about your child's needs. You're not thinking about what happens to me. And so that's why I was so important. And you coming in with that experience and the resources to help parents to say, hey, this is what we have. Let's work through this. It makes
We're
it so much easier.
100%. We're always in survival mode, and we go to survival mode to autopilot mode. I mentioned this in another interview that some time ago, I got to the supermarket. I turned off the car and I called my wife Ellie and I said, Eddie, I don't know how I got here. I know I did. I know I did. I'm here. But I had so much in my mind that I didn't remember how I really got there, you know? So that's autopilot mode. You're just doing things because you do that all the time, and that's where you need to sit down sometimes, breathe, understand that you're not alone. This is an underserved community, but it's a community that there are people that really do care. And this is one of the reasons why we created the blog to be able to at least provide content around what a lot of parents are worried about, provide resources. We do have a letter of intent, for example, so you can it's like a profile document that could help families. As an example, if something were to happen to me that not necessarily pass away, but let's say Ellie and my wife and I were in the hospital for 5 days, and somebody needs to take care of Christian as a or Amanda, my daughter, for 5 days. That document outlines his allergies, his triggers, therapist contact information, daily routines. Everything is in that document, just in case if somebody that really doesn't know him a lot or anything, it has all the information there because if I'm recuperating, most likely I'm not going to be able to talk to that person. So we have that letter of intent. We have an ebook for siblings because we do see a lot that there could be a neurodivergent, obviously, in the family, but there's also a neurotypical sibling. They also are caught in this middle of all this, environment. So we try to at least provide as much value for families as possible.
And that's the other thing you touched on is the siblings. I've seen that as well. If you have a neurodivergent child that requires a lot of energy and time, And then the neurotypical child, sometimes, even though they understand, you also want to be able to give them time and energy and attention. So that book is very, I think, is such a great resource to have to say, how can we c maintain that connection? And you don't want the other sibling to feel like they need to take on a parent role for their sibling as well. So it's very very important. I want to touch on your blog and all the other things as well, but I do have one more question before we get into your services. Is it's very easy for families when they go through this and you're in survival mode, you don't even know how you're going to survive, but you got to keep your child alive. Is you can fall into that victim mentality where you don't feel supported, you don't feel, and you were very proactive with it and said, okay, as a father, I'm going to step in to, as a provider. You mentioned that before. And you made something out of it with the business and the services you offer. So what, for you having lived through this, what are some tips that you could share with a family to say, okay, I understand when you're in the why is this happening to me or us, and move on to, okay, let's be proactive and plan this out so that it's easier for us and for our child later on.
I have a quote that I would say changed a lot of my views and mindset when I was going through these dark moments. And one of the, I'm sorry, one of the, that quote is that there's a business coach slash sales coach that says, hey, it's not your fault, but it's your problem. And I change it to, it's not your fault, but it's your responsibility. So it's not our fault Christian was diagnosed, but it is our responsibility. And nobody's going to come and save us. Nobody, no government is going to give me anything. Nobody's going to come to my house and say, hey, your son needs therapy. I can go come and pick him up and leave him. Nobody's going to do that. And it gets to a point that something that I realized again after some time is that when we were in denial, that phase, I would say, spoke a lot about how selfish I was. Because I was only thinking about me and my wife. We were only thinking about, oh, I thought he was going to be a baseball player. Oh, I thought we were going to be able to go out to restaurants. We were years without going out because of the judgment of other, people, because obviously he would scream or whatever. But, being in denial and that, what I've learned is it only spoke about how selfish I was and that I wasn't paying attention of his interest. Because I was only thinking about myself. So when you stop thinking about how much you feel and how much you're hurt and all that, and just, in Spanish, it's el toro por los cuernos, it's like you take the horns
The
for
bull
the
by the horn.
yeah. You gotta do that. Nobody's gonna come and save you, and it's nothing's gonna change. At the end of the day, you have a blessing with you. Just take advantage. See the opportunity and see how you can create something about it. At the end of the day, what I saw is that there was a lack of a place that was centralized that a parent can not only have a conversation about their future, gain clarity about their finances, but at the same time, just talk about all the other topics from music therapy. If ABA is also for only for autism or not, we talk about everything. So that's what I saw and said, okay, or either I'm going to complain or be part of the solution. So that's the way we saw it. And having a philosophy of we write everything in pencil, not in pen. So we know that each day is something new. We can erase whatever we did and not be so hard on ourselves.
I like the visuals you give when you explain it, because it really is like taking the bull by the horns and writing in pencil, not in pen. It's not written in stone. You just have to be flexible and go with the flow. I like that.
And that's something that I would say just adding. We come from a very traditional, I would say, background. I'm Puerto Rico and my wife's from Cuba, and everybody's in the same house, and everybody has an opinion. And in our case, we learn how to be adaptable. We learn how to be patient. We learn how to be flexible. Understanding that, like you mentioned, nothing is written in stone. That's why we talk about, hey, Let's write everything in pencil, not in pen. But I think one of the recommendations is just don't be so hard on yourself as a parent, and learn how to adapt. Each child is different. Doesn't mean that you need to compare yours with another child. Just be strong and understand that it's a pure blessing to be in this position.
It is. It's not. It takes a while to see it, but I think it's good.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that survival mode when you're just focusing on what's happening to you, because that's the part of the brain that's functioning.
Yeah.
And once you're able to see a bigger picture,
Oh,
it does help. And you
it's
meant,
taken us.
oh, go
It's
ahead.
taken. No, it's taken us here. Like you just mentioned, I'm talking now because obviously I'm mentally stable, but it took us years. It took us years just to feel comfortable enough to go out, to talk, to just make this make sense. But yeah, you're right.
And this is why I think the conversation is so important, because for people that are not living it, because you say everybody has their own opinion, it doesn't just have to be family, but going out to the restaurant when your child has a make meltdown, it's different from acting up. It's different from a tantrum. And so for people that are not living it, to hear it, to say, okay, maybe I shouldn't be so quick to judge. Some people don't have it easy. Some people have challenges that, and just taking for granted the fact that you just want to go out for a cup of coffee or just go out to have a nice family meal, and you can't do that. Not everybody would be able to go through it. So it's important to mention that and say, this some families have to go through this, and not
They have.
easy. There's some sacrifices involved there. But, let's talk about, because you have quite a bit of resources to help the underserved community with families that do have neurodivergent children that face challenges every day. You have that blog that gives information as much, and you're very you give a lot of information on different things and say, hey, you may never have thought of this, but this is how you can do it. There's the book for the siblings, and the letter of intent is if something happens to you, you're not going to be thinking about, oh, this is where the medication, if there is medication, let's say, it doesn't always have to be autism, but ADHD sometimes, the therapist, this is who can help you in case you're not thinking about that when you're going through it. But can you talk a little bit, give us where people can find that information and who it's really built for?
Yeah, so the website is just the www at the author no www.autismvoice.com. There you're gonna see the blog post, which has three categories. So the first one is daily living, which talks about topics that any parent, I would say, would ask themselves. Even questions about what should I think about toilet training, haircuts, about around sensory, even swim, the ABCs of swimming, for example. Then we have another category, which is life planning, which we talk about more on the financial side, right? Guardianship and top life insurance and all that. Then we have one which is very important, very near and dear to my heart, which is called the entrepreneur, which is more geared towards to empower families to think about acquiring a skill set to be able to buy their time back, either getting promoted in their job so they can be better in a better situation, or leaping into entrepreneurship for their own small for a small business, right? Because it's very difficult to carry a 9-to-5 job when you have a child that has 20 some plus hours in therapy. So that's part of the blog. Then we have, again, the letter of intent. We have an ebook. We have a budget sheet. We also have a newsletter that goes out weekly. The newsletter also shares a lot of insights. So there's a lot of value that we try to do. We're going to start doing some webinars in the next couple of months. So we're trying to at least provide beyond, I would say, that something I would have loved to have when I started in this game. So yeah, so that's what we're trying to do. And we're excited. We're excited. I think this year is going to be very, very good for us. And yeah, there's a lot of parents that we're seeing and we're getting feedback. So we're excited.
That's great. And it's things that people really don't think about, like the entrepreneurship is, you
Yeah.
know, you hear about budget cuts and layoffs and things like that. So what happens tomorrow if you get that letter that says, yeah, we can't do this anymore? So to for you to be able to make your own schedule, I think it's such a great idea. And that kind of leads me to my next question is, in general, so people can kind of start thinking outside of the regular stuff we hear and really keep the conversation going, is in your opinion and from your experiences, both personally and professionally, because you made this your profession, what support does the community need the most right now that people are not thinking about, you know, that you're seeing it on a day-to-day? There's so many things that are being offered, but is there something that people are forgetting about?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And what I see a lot is it's more on the parent side that there's a lot of the same time I see a lot of what we talked about trying to get away from the victim mentality. Also, there's a lot of ego. And what I see a lot is even when I talk to clients, to prospects that, hey, I want to have this, I already have this, but so perfect, but have you also thought, for example, this is a case that happens regularly. Oh, I already have a life insurance, for example, and I don't need anything. I say, okay, perfect. But question, does your policy also consider a guardian? Because if that guardian assumes responsibility for that child, most likely she will become a caregiver and need to leave her job, him, his or her job. Is that policy also considering leaving something for the guardian, or is it just so it's about having that conversation? And usually what I think, what I see is that a lot of parents believe that they're making the right choices by doing stuff themselves, but it's like being on cruise control, but you're going the wrong way. And that's what I see a lot, that they're making decisions, do it yourself. Let me see, let me do everything myself and I'll be okay because I don't want to talk to anybody. And that, it's not the same. You're making a decision just on a couple of YouTube videos you're seeing versus talking to me that I talk to a lot of families day in, day out. So that's what I see a lot. It's not much of the support out there. It's more about the parents need to some way somehow be more open in regards to understanding what's out there and what can benefit them, and really rely on professionals.
I like that. I like that. It's just to kind of, I was blown away by what you just said, but you're right. It's accepting that you do need help, or you could consult with somebody who's living through it, and I think it's wonderful.
And that's something that you it even happened to us when Christian was having those symptoms that we were in denial. This is why it's so important who you're listening to, because even for us, we were listening. Hey, our family would say, hey, don't worry. You were the same. He doesn't have anything. Don't worry. So imagine getting that advice plus being in denial. It's dangerous. So the same thing when you talk about other profession, all other topics, let's say in finance, if you're making decisions by yourself because you saw something, a post online, there's no secret sauce, there's no secret product in what I do. Whatever I provide, any agent can provide, but I see it from a father's standpoint. And there's nothing like talking to another parent that's gone through the same situation or similar and be able to have this open conversation, because obviously that's what it is. But when you see parents that are not, maybe listening to, even though there's good intent, but maybe that person that they're listening to doesn't have the experience needed, that's where I see a lot of, things happen.
Yeah, they're so right. I'm glad that you bring that up, because that is a reality that we see often, and when you're going through it, you may not realize that you're actually not making it easy on yourself by trying to do it all by yourself, or trying not looking at the bigger picture. I could talk to you about this all day, but let's talk about what's coming up. You did mention webinars and that. Is there anything else coming up for you, or anything new that's coming up?
No, this year I just want to provide even get better on the SEO, get better on getting more exposure in front of the families who need it. So we're deep diving into getting more into AI. We use AI a lot even to develop our own blog post. So we really want to bring forward this as a very advanced technology for our underserved families, because you see all these companies and serving communities and very advanced, but when you go to the special needs community, you know, it's nobody has really tapped into it and providing value. So that's what we want to do this year, be able to be as advanced as possible and provide the best for our families.
All right. That's amazing. That's
Yeah.
great. And I'll before we wrap it up, I just wanted to ask if there was anything else you wanted to add that maybe I didn't, I mean, or something that comes up that you wanted to share before we wrap it all up.
No, I think
Yeah.
that for families to understand that they're not alone, that you know that even though if you feel anxious, if you feel that again you're alone, anxiety, you feel that you're stuck, you're in the right place. This is a common thing that happens, and this is just trust the process. Just try to be connected with everybody. Try to have good communication with everybody that serves your child. Sometimes I see that a lot, that there's a lot of parents that just leave them off in ter therapy and really don't are not, you know, connected. And the more you communicate with professionals and the more you communicate with your spouse and family, believe me, it's just beneficial for everybody. So you're not alone. That's the main thing, but also try as much as possible to communicate with everybody, because at the end of the day, it's a pure blessing for the child.
Okay. This is great just to hear if you're going through a really rough patch, that's you're in the right place. I
You're
like
in
that. That's exactly where you need to be. It's
the right
funny
place.
that you don't want to hear that necessarily, but it's true. It's reassuring to know that it's your normal, you know, like it's I don't like the word normal because I'm thinking compared to what, but in this case,
You're in the
it's
right
your
place.
normal. The chaos is your normal, so it's okay. People are there to help you. You just have to ask for it. I like that. Before
That's
we give the information on how we can contact you, if people want more information, if they want to go look at your blogs and the three pillars of your services, I asked this question, and I will ask you because I know you can think into the future far ahead. You've planned everything out, but this is a question I ask because I promised the little girl I would ask all the adults I interview, and that's what do you want to be when you grow up?
and grow up, I would like to be, let's say, and if you hear something in the background, that's Amanda. So everybody who's listening, that's part of of our household.
Yes.
Want to want just you know just continue to be a try to be an example as a father for, you know, I don't care about anything else, just be there for my children. And that's the reason why I left corporate America, because I wasn't spending time with the family. And just what I want to be, just better each time and be present for the children. That's it.
I love that you're already doing it. So this is wonderful. Oh, that's why I like it, asking that question because you never get the same answer. That's lovely. So how can people, what's the best way to contact you or to get access to your resources? I will add that to the description so everybody can have a look at it.
No. The website is just www.autismvoyage.com. Everything's going to be there. You're going to have the access to subscribe, to see the newsletter, to get access to the resources, and even send me an email. So whoever, if this resonates with somebody and just wants to talk, by all means, you can contact me.
That's wonderful. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to and for reaching out as well, for going
Thanks.
through this and opening up this conversation. It is something that we don't hear often of, is that future planning and going through the motion, but allowing yourself to be a bit more certain of what the future is going to look like. I think that's it's so important to have the more of these conversations. So I will invite everybody to check out your website to get more information. So thank you again very much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. And for everybody listening, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to go check out the Autism Voyage. I will put the information in the description box for you to have that. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.